Welcome to episode 350 of Fly Away. Here at Outlander Travel, we're passionate about, well, travel. Throughout the years, we've seen many changes to the industry, but one thing that has stayed the same is the urge to explore our world and make the connections that can only be made through experience. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Sandy, Lindsay, and George. Tonight, we revisit our new favorite game here on Fly Away, Two Truths and a Lie. Tonight, to celebrate the recent reopening of the UK to foreign visitors, at least we hope that it opens on time when we're recording this, we are heading to my favorite city in the world, London. London has a long and sordid history, so the hardest part about preparing for tonight's episode was just narrowing down the thousands of weird and wonderful facts about the city. So without further ado, you see, I used ado because it's Shakespeare. Let's get started. All right. So are you guys ready for this?
Yeah.
But I didn't ask any trick questions the way that, Sandy always does, where she just slightly changes the number. I tried not to do that. So
I only did that the first time.
I'm bitter. All right.
We gotta add prizes to this.
The prize is I might have a Royal Caribbean highlighter from
that you stole from that little girl.
No, that I won on Royal Caribbean. In some cases I tried to group these by theme. I feel very clever for this. So this first one is buildings. Okay. Are you ready?
Okay.
So the first, I'm going to give you three statements. Two of them are true and one is a lie. And it's up to you to figure out which one is the lie. Okay. So I'll give you the statements and then I'll call on each of you to give your opinion. And then I will tell you who is wrong. All right. So the first one, the theme is buildings, famous buildings. The superstition of the ravens at the Tower of London is so strong that they even have a backup raven to ensure there are always six. Okay, that's statement number one. Statement number two, the London Eye was the first big wheel in London. And by big wheel, you know, like huge Ferris wheel. That's what we're talking about there. And then the third statement is Big Ben is not the name of the famous clock tower, but rather the name of its bell. Who wants to go first? Raise your hand. Sandy, which one is the lie?
I think the lie is the London Eye was the first big wheel in London, because I just feel like there was probably another big wheel.
London is pretty old. That's true.
Of course, maybe there are always five ravens and you're being tricky.
I just said, though, that I didn't do that. Lindsay, do you have a guess?
I kind of feel like there's more ravens than just like a spare. But okay. I don't know, but I think Sandy's right. I think it's the eye, because I'm pretty sure Big Ben is the bell.
Okay, George?
I think it's Big Ben. I think that is the name of the bell, and the tower does have a different name.
But that's what the statement says. So the statement is Big Ben is not the name of the famous tower, but rather it's the name of its bell.
Oh, well, I think that one's true then. All right, then I'm going to go with the London Eye.
Okay, so the answer is the London Eye. There are six ravens, and then there is a backup raven. And the six ravens, their wings are clipped, so they can't leave. So they're pretty darn serious about the superstition. And Big Ben is not the name of the clock tower. Interestingly, my sources gave me two names. One was Elizabeth's Tower, and one was the Clock Tower. So I don't know what it's really officially called. And I think, frankly, everybody just calls it Big Ben. But it's really the bell is Big Ben. So the London Eye was not the first big wheel in London. Let me pull up this fact here. I probably should have pulled this up faster.
I love
that. That reminds me of the Paris one.
So the London Eye was not the first big wheel. The Great Wheel earns this title. This wheel was constructed in 1895 for the Empire of India exhibition. It was demolished in 1907, 91 years before construction started on the London Eye. So I think that's kind of interesting that, like, it was a long time between big wheels. They had like a big wheel and then nothing, and then for almost 100 years. So yeah. Kind of cool. All right, so this next one is is about people. That's the theme here. So, three statements. First, London is the largest city in England. Second statement, London has been the most populous city in the UK since the 17th century. Third statement, London has more Indian restaurants than Mumbai. Who would like to go first? So first statement, London is the largest city in England. Second statement, London has been the most populous city in the UK since the 17th century. And third statement, London has more Indian restaurants than Mumbai.
So when you say the largest city, you're not necessarily talking about population, because that would...
Okay, nobody you're thinking can hear out loud and not asking me to give away the answer.
What? Say that again?
I said, I assume you're thinking out loud and not asking me to give away the answer. Oh, but I did word okay. these very carefully.
Okay. So I actually, I believe that London has a lot of Indian restaurants. And I think it is a very populous city. So I'm thinking that the first question is going by landmass, and there might be a larger city landmass. So that's going to be my answer, the first one.
The first statement. George, what do you think?
Well, I don't have any freaking idea. I know London, I would bet that London has more Indian restaurants. So I'm thinking it's one of the other two. I would say it's going to be not the most populous city.
Okay. Since the 17th century. Mm-hmm. All right. Lindsay, what do you think? Oh, Lindsay, you're muted.
Sorry, Lily Bell was squeaking her toy. Kind of like the one squeaker that she hadn't killed yet, and that little stuffed animal. And she's, oh, I just found it. So I feel like, I know there's a lot of Indian restaurants, but I kind of feel like it would be a little, I don't know. I feel like, is there really more than there are in Mumbai?
So your answer is three?
Give me a minute. Okay, so the first one was...
First is London is the largest city in England. Two, London has been the most populous city in the UK since the 17th century. And three is London has more Indian restaurants than Mumbai.
Oh, in the UK. I don't think it's the most populous. That's the one I'm going to go with.
All right. So, first of all, you are all... spot on. London does have more Indian restaurants than Mumbai. It's kind of a thing. So the other two, one is a bit of a trick. London has actually been the most populous city in the UK since the 17th century. The trick is London is the largest city in England. If you know anything about London's geography, the city of London is actually only 1 square mile. Everything else is the environs of London, the greater London area. So the things that we call London, a lot of it is actually not technically London. True London is only 1 square mile. So it's kind of stupid, but you know, no offense, London.
That's trivia-y.
Yes, very trivia-y. Yay. Yes, you got it. I'm not keeping score, so I trust that you guys are. All right, so our next theme is the famous London Underground. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. So, statement number one, over half of the London Underground is above ground. Statement number two, a special breed of mosquito has evolved to live in the London Underground. Statement number three, the busiest London Underground station is Victoria Station. Lindsay, you get to go first this time.
Oh, God.
So, statement one, over half of the London Underground is above ground. Statement two, a special breed of mosquito has evolved to live in the London Underground. And statement number three, the busiest London Underground station is Victoria Station.
Why is the mosquito haunting me? I think it's the mosquito. Maybe that's too obvious. I don't know. I have no idea.
So you're going to go with the mosquito?
I'm going to go with mosquito.
Okay.
A special breed of mosquito sounds very sci-fi. It's probably...
Sandy?
I'm going to say that the Victoria Station is not the busiest underground station, because I kind of felt like Piccadilly was busier. But...
Okay. And George?
I'm going Victoria Station isn't the busiest as well.
All right. So you are all correct in that over half of the London Underground is indeed above ground. So that's just, they, but you know, changing the name is too difficult, I guess. The busiest London Underground station is actually Waterloo. Victoria Station was the busiest, but two before that, and I think one before that, before Waterloo took over. Let me see if I can find this statement. No, I can't. Sorry. Before Waterloo, it was Oxford Circus, and then before that, it was Victoria, and before that, King's Cross.
Okay.
So mosquitoes, totally true. Wait, and I'm just going to read you this word for word because it's a little bit terrifying.
Is it off of Doctor Who? Where did you get this? Like,
did you find and that? Incidentally, for all of these, I tried to make sure I found more than one source. So just for the record, which is how I told you there's a clock tower and Elizabeth Tower. Culex pipiens molestus, that is the last name, molestus, is a subspecies of mosquito that has evolved specific habits suited to its life on the London Underground. It can live in dark places for long periods of time, doesn't have to hibernate, is a particularly voracious biter and doesn't need water to lay its eggs. Ew. Nature is truly, truly terrifying.
That's disgusting.
Oh. Yep. So yeah, bug spray necessary. All right. So are you guys having fun? What do you think?
Yeah.
Did I get you good? All right. So the next one is the royal family, which isn't technically London. It's sort of all of England, but you know, London's
close enough.
So yes. So, statement number one, the queen created a breed of dogs. Statement number two, all Tudor monarchs are buried in Westminster Abbey. Statement number three, the queen requires no passport for international travel. George, you're going first on this one, so I'm going to go through these again while you're thinking, because I know you're pensive. The queen created a breed of dogs, or all Tudor monarchs are buried in Westminster Abbey, or the queen requires no passport for international travel.
I'm going to say the queen created a breed of dogs is false.
Okay. Sandy?
So I feel like I really know this. And I guess I'll tell you why later. But I believe that the Tudor monarchs buried in Westminster Abbey is false.
Okay. Lindsay?
I feel like she loves dogs, so I feel like that's quite possible. I don't know. Now, in order to be a monarch, you have to be crowned, or do you have to be, or just born? Because I'm kind of agreeing with Sandy on this one.
Ah, good question. The
line. You know what's?
I don't know the.
I think the monarchs are the.
Is
the
crown.
Yeah, the head of the one. Yeah, the one. Yes, not the royal family, but yeah.
It's not the family. It's actual not who will ruler. Inherit, but it's who actually is, right?
Correct.
So then that's probably correct. What was the third one again?
The queen requires no passport for international travel.
I gotta say that's wrong, because TSA doesn't care. Like, they just do not care if you are the queen. They do not care. And I'm going to stick with that one because
so literally American. You have picked a different one. That's pretty cool. That's
yeah, awesome. No. I really, if this is true, I'm never.
So I will tell you the false one first because the other two are far more interesting. The false one is all Tudor monarchs are buried in Westminster Abbey. All of them except for King Henry III are buried in Westminster Abbey. King Henry III is not. So that is that one. Now,
okay, so I got that right, but I'm wrong for the reason I got it right. I thought I walked over King Henry VIII's tomb in
Westminster Abbey?
In Windsor.
Oh.
I could be wrong. It might have been one of his wives.
Yeah.
But... he left them lettered all over.
I got it right.
Yeah.
There's so many of them buried around.
Yeah, that's interesting, though.
Hey guys, George here, breaking into this episode real quick. Just to let you know, after doing some research, we found out that Sandy was right. Henry VIII is buried at Windsor. Back to the show.
So the queen did create a breed of dogs, and because we all love dogs, I have to share this because I actually didn't know this, but it totally makes sense. The queen famously loves corgis, and when one of hers mated with a dachshund, she created the new mixed breed Dorgie species of dog. Thanks to their loyalty, intelligence, and friendliness, almost all Dorgies are said to be as adorable and loving as they are cute.
Well, now I want one.
Totally. That's exactly what I said when I read that. I was like, I must have one of these. Can you imagine? I mean, I can only imagine.
Oh my God.
And then the other statement, the Queen requires no passport for international travel. So in the UK, the Queen actually issues the passports. So why would she need one?
Why would she need one?
Why would she need one? Yeah. So I mean, she actually, and let me see if I can find the full statement about that, the legality of that. Despite being a little known fact, it makes sense when you think about it. All UK passports are issued in Her Majesty's name. So why would Her Majesty need permission from herself to go abroad? The Queen is one of the only people in the world that requires no passport for international travel. So apparently TSA does care if you're the Queen.
What?
I know. It's crazy.
Well, it's not like she's getting in line to go coach.
She was around before TSA, so, you know.
Yeah.
She was around before TSA. Maybe
no, I actually didn't know. I didn't know that. So I was like, oh, I had no idea. And I didn't know about Dorgies either. So I learned quite a bit today. All right. So our next question, we have two more. Our next one is themed around animals. Okay. Because we love animals. So first, Henry III was given a polar bear and he kept it at the Tower of London. Now, I will just go ahead and say it may not have been a polar bear, but it was definitely a white bear. Okay. Henry, because I couldn't verify, was a long time ago. Henry III was given a polar bear and he kept it at the Tower of London. Second statement, an elephant once walked across the frozen Thames River. Third statement, a bear at London Zoo was named after the famous A.A. Milne character, Winnie the Pooh. Sandy, you get to go first on this one.
Well, I think you kind of verified the bear thing just now.
Yeah. Or I'm just a really good liar.
Double down on the lies.
I feel like your librarian roots are showing with the Winnie the Pooh thing. So I'm going to say it's the elephant.
Okay. The elephant once walked across the frozen Thames.
Yeah.
Lindsay?
That makes sense. I think it's the elephant too. I find it hard to believe that there wouldn't be a bear named Pooh.
And George?
I don't think the Thames ever actually freezes, so I would say that's false.
Okay, so I totally tricked you guys. So the Thames has frozen in the past, as recently as the middle of the 20th century, and an elephant used to walk across it regularly. There was a festival in which that happened. Remember, global warming is a thing. So that did happen.
Henry III had bears on the frozen Thames and like ice skating and mm-hmm.
yep. And yeah, there was a picture in my research that showed people, and that's how I know mid 20th century, because they were in like, you know, those 50s lawn chairs sitting out there, you know, hanging out. Henry III was given a white bear, probably a polar bear, and he kept it in the Tower of London and actually swam in the Thames and everything. Pretty cool. It was a gift from the King of Norway, apparently. So the lie is the London Zoo, but it's a tricky one. There was actually a bear at the London Zoo named Winnie the Pooh, and A.A. Milne took Christopher Robin to the zoo, and Christopher Robin came home and named his teddy bear Winnie the Pooh. So it was the other way around.
Okay.
The bear at the zoo was first, and then so the character was named after it.
That does go back to your librarian.
It does, yeah. I mean, when I found that fact, I was like, oh, I have to include this. Okay, so our last one is sort of loosely themed around colors. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Statement number one, city buses in London have always been the iconic red that they are today. Statement number two, to become a black cab driver, you must pass a rigorous test about London's layout and roads called the knowledge. And statement number three, London is technically a forest. So again, city buses have always been the iconic red they are today. Statement two, to become a black cab driver, and that's a black cab, not a black cab driver, just in case you're curious. Black cab driver.
Wow.
You must pass a rigorous test about London's layout.
I'll fall on the sword, I guess. So I kind of feel like, I don't know why I'm seeing old video footage in my head, and maybe it's because, I don't know. I don't think the buses have always been red.
Okay.
I'm probably wrong. It's a solid guess. I'm wrong about everything, but I feel like that's not right.
George?
I think to become a cab driver, you must pass tests but I don't think it's called The Knowledge.
Okay. Sandy?
That's tricky. I'm going with Lindsay. I feel like the buses probably weren't always red. They were probably black back in the day or something.
Well, I can't believe that none of you picked the forest one, but it's probably because it's so weird that you're like, no, that must be true. And of course, the color there is green. Yes, it is technically a forest because it has so many parks and trees that it is classified as a forest. The cab driver test is called The Knowledge, very famously. City buses have actually been red since, I think, 1907. Let me go pull my resources here. So the double-deckers are one of the city's most significant symbols today, and it's hard to imagine them being in any other color than red. But before 1907, so you probably didn't see pictures, Lindsay, but
not pictures, maybe in a movie. Maybe before, I watched a movie that was like a recreation or something. I don't know. I saw something that was not...
Before 1907, though, the different routes had different colored buses, making the streets of London quite a colorful place, which actually is kind of genius. If you see, you know, you take the blue bus, or you take the red bus, you take the green bus.
Yeah. Right, but if the bus breaks down, they can't take another bus and put it on.
It's true.
Yeah, they can't replace them.
Not very flexible.
I have been watching Downton Abbey. I just started watching it.
Speaking of London, which actually doesn't appear in Downton Abbey very much at all.
Yeah, they haven't gone to London yet, but you know, I was just thinking about like, have you seen a bus on Downton Abbey yet?
But yeah, there were so many fun questions that I could have asked. This could have just gone on forever, but I think George would have killed us if it had. So.
No, this was probably my favorite one out of all of them yet.
London is just so fascinating. Like, there's just so much that's happened there. So there's actually been a beer tsunami that killed 9 people. I mean, I learned all kinds of things. So yes.
That's cool.
Story for a later day, I'm sure. So who won? Did anybody keep score?
I only got 2.
I know I lost.
I think I got 4.
If getting every single one wrong...
Golf, Lindsay. I know you got at least one right, I feel like, because there was one that everybody got right. Or was it that there was one that everybody got wrong? Anyway, that is our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of outlandertravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Sandy, George, Lindsay, and myself, Elizabeth, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.